This is Living the RV Dream, episode 147 for Friday, June 12, 2020.
I'm riding
in my RV,
wherever I want to be, 'cause I'm free in my RV.
Hello, happy campers. Hello, happy travelers around the world. Full-timers, part-timers, boondockers, van dwellers. Yes, another Friday where we're going to talk, when we're going to talk about RVing, traveling, different destinations. I'm going to read your mail. But first, I want to tell you this episode is sponsored by Amazon Camperforce, which, by the way, it's a great work camping opportunity. If you are full timing out there and you want to make a living from the road, make a little, you know, it's one of those seasonal jobs that you can take, and a lot of people, I know a lot of people who have done it, and it works out for them. And let me tell you, very excited, because as you listen to this on Friday, I'm gonna be on my way to the Florida Keys for the first time. Well, it's been about a year at least. But for the first time, for sure, since the COVID-19 pandemic, and let you know how things are going down there. I do believe they're pretty strict in the Florida Keys with the social distancing and face coverings and that kind of thing. But I'll report back to you guys next Friday, because today I'm reporting about the place where we were last weekend. And don't tell anybody about this place, please. Just your most immediate friends and family and fellow Pelican heads, and that's the island of Matlashe, which is it's pronounced Matlashe. It's kind of written Matlasha, but Matlashe is the proper way to pronounce it. And it's an island. It's just west of Cape Coral, Florida, which is just west of Fort Myers, kind of on the north shore of the Caloosahatchee River there. And is it the Caloosahatchee River? I always get them confused. Let me make sure. Well, yeah, I searched Google Maps and it is the Caloosahatchee River. And you know, it's Cape Coral is across the river from Fort Myers. And then there's a causeway that goes to the... Actually, it is the largest island in the state of Florida. It's called Pine Island. But as you go to Pine Island, there's a smaller island right before. And we discovered this island, actually it was probably around 5 years ago, when we took the trailer for its first service, let's just say. That didn't go so well, but it was the month right before the trailer went out of warranty. And, you know, we weren't very happy at the time with the water heater. And little did we know that, you know, the tank sensors, sometimes they don't work unless you keep those tanks really, really clean. So those were the things that we wanted them to address. And well, to make a long story short, as they took most of the day to take care of the things that we requested, we decided to take a drive around the area, you know, to know the Fort Myers, more like to the west, the Cape Coral area. And by the way, there's a very good distillery there called Dolphin. They make is it the Dolphin? The Wicked Dolphin distillery. They make rum. They make a coconut rum that is really, really good. And we continued going west there on Pine Island Drive. Let's check out this Pine Island that everybody raves about. But as we go to Pine Island, you go across this bridge and you go into this, it's a small town, and all of a sudden you see all these colorful little houses, you know, like wooden buildings. And it's very colorful. It's how I imagine the Florida Keys may have been at some point. It kind of has a little Cedar Key look as well. It's that old Florida feel. Let's put it that way. And it has this bridge, the Matlashe Pass Bridge. It's called the fishingest bridge in the world. It's a famous fishing bridge. And you know, I'm not really like a fishing kind of person. I never got into it. There's still hope. One of these days, I might go for it and start fishing. And I love fish, so, you know, free food, what can you do? But the Matla Shape Pass Bridge, you usually, normally, you find, you know, dozens, at least dozens of people. It's a small bridge. Dozens of people there fishing, and the first time we were there, it was about 4.5 years ago, after we discovered that during that, you know, maintenance trip to the dealership, a couple of weeks later, I just called, you know, on the odd chance that let me talk about the RV park first. There's one RV park on the island. It's called Sugar Sand Beach RV Resort, and it's only 10 sites. It's probably the smallest RV park in the whole state of Florida. So I called, this was 4 years ago, I called on the odd chance, hey, is there any chance you have a spot, this and that? And luckily, my trailer is small, and I fit in the best site in the whole RV park, which is site one. And I posted a short video on Instagram, if you guys want to check it out. Traveling Robert is my name on Instagram. And in any case, to make a long story short, the owner of the RV park contacted me. Actually, they contacted me about 3.5 years ago or so, offering me a free stay, you know, because they said that a lot of people had booked because they saw my video about that RV park. And it was a very positive video. I spoke very positively about the island and the RV park itself. I even called it at the time, you know, at the time I had been RVing for about a year and a half, maybe a little over a year. And I said that that was by far one of the favorite places that I had ever stayed at, and it still is. And it's one of those RV parks, RV resorts, and don't get me wrong, it doesn't have a swimming pool or hot tub or shuffleboard or anything like that. It's just the location. You are parked right there, right next to the to Matla Shape Pass, which is it's relatively quiet waters there. It's like an intercoastal, basically. And you're right there, right next to the water, with all these coconut trees. He has a hammock. He has a tiki bar. He has a small dock where you can, you know, park your boat, you know, dock your boat, or you can fish from that dock. And he has a smoker. The clubhouse, you know, a small clubhouse with like the bathroom and the kitchen and TV and library. And one of the things that impressed me the most, and you know, I'm a YouTuber, so I need the internet, man. And they have the fastest unrestricted internet I've ever seen in an RV park. I mean, the thing actually works, and it works well. So I was able to do my weekly live stream on Friday, and it's really good. And the owner, his name is Van. It's the nicest guy. You know, I told you, do you mind if we move this table here? He's like, there's very few things that we mind here. So, you know, you just feel comfortable. And I guess his whole goal is that we to share his little piece of paradise there on Matla Shape Island. So I don't know, I've been rambling a little bit, but what he did a couple of weeks ago, he contacted me again, and he told me, hey, you know, if you want to come, you know, I can give you a couple of nights and this and that, because that Matla Shape video from 4.5 years ago just took off. It's been taken. It's not even 4 years ago. It's gonna be 4 years in October, and you know why I know that? Because the presidential campaign was full force, and there were signs, you know, all over the island, for the presidential campaign, and. But yeah, he contacted me, and you know, I said, well, you know, and we've been going back and forth. At this moment, it needed to be a weekend so I could go with Illy, which she's still working the 9-to-5, and we decided to go this past weekend. And of course, we got the worst possible weather. We had that hurricane. Was it a tropical storm? I don't even know what it was anymore. Cristobal. And it was in the middle of the Gulf of Mexico, and we probably got the worst of the storm. There was some outer bands that just slammed the west coast of Florida. It wasn't windy like destruction windy, but it rained a lot. But and I was commenting with Illy and with the owner of the place and with a couple of people who came to visit us, actually, some patrons even. I told him, this is one of those few places in the world that looks like paradise even with bad weather, and I mean that. I mean this place, and I already spoke to Van and he wants me to come back in the fall, so we're gonna go back to paradise yet one more time, and maybe third time, you know, is the charm when we get good weather and I can, you know, kayak and all that. But let me tell you about, by the way, I've already spoke about the RV park. Pretty much that's all there is to it. He has some kayaks that you can use, by the way, for free. He has them there for everybody to use, and everybody in the RV park is so nice, even our neighbors. And I don't know, as we were leaving, he parked a toy hauler there, a fifth wheel. He has skills parking the RVs in there, because let me tell you, I don't know how some of those big rigs fit there, but it was cool. And you know, it was one of those weekends, you know, we've been kind of cooped up in the house for so long. And last weekend we went to, as you know, the weekend before, we went to Jonathan Dickinson State Park in Jupiter, Florida. This time we decided to come to the West Coast, and it's this area of Florida is pretty much open, like back in business, almost 100%. We went to this restaurant that actually Van, the owner of Sugar Sand RV Resort, he recommended it. It's called Michelle's, and excellent place. It's an Italian seafood place, and they have an outdoor tiki bar where you can sit. But we decided to sit inside at the bar because we haven't been able to sit at a bar in such a long time, and we kind of like that bar experience. So we sat at the bar inside, and we ordered, you know, a couple beers and dinner, and it was excellent. What a great place. And outside, actually, they had live music and very, very cool. Some other places that we visited on the island, there's this restaurant also right across the street from the RV park. So that one is even a walking distance. It's called Old Fish House Marina. And, you know, it's very rustic, very, very old Florida, let's put it that way. But they have great seafood. And it's a little pricey for what it is, but you know, and we wanted to support the local economy, of course. I know these places, they have been closed for a couple of months, so yeah, it was great to support the local economy. And then we had an ice cream. There's this other ice cream place called Great Licks Ice Cream Shop, and that was really good. But it was so hot that the ice cream was melting before our very eyes. I mean, it's already like full force summer in Florida, definitely. And we didn't do much more than that. We just sat there, you know, sometimes inside the RV because it was raining, sometimes outside. Sometimes we have to retract the awning because it was so windy. But the last time we were here, there's also another place that I would recommend, is Bert's Bar and Grill. This is another great place for seafood, and they have a bar inside, live music. And even one of the viewer wanted to meet me there on Saturday night, but it was kind of late and it was raining, and I was like, let me take a rain check on that one. And another place that we visited the last time, and I think they're taking advantage of the shutdown and all this to remodel it, is the Blue Dog Bar and Grill. And that's another great restaurant there on Mat Lache, also walking distance to Sugar Sand. Pretty much everything is walking distance to Sugar Sand RV Resort there. And so if look it up, and if you decide to go there, to tell him I sent you, because people have told me anecdotally that if you tell them I sent you, it's like you're part of the family, kind of. So that's really good. I really appreciate that Van invited me there, and I really look forward to go back October, November. We're gonna talk about it because definitely. SugarSandRVResort.com, by the way, and the phone number is 239-849-2541. 239-849-2541 if you want to stay there. Now, before we continue, I want to talk about Amazon Camper Force. And I have a message from them to you. Get on the road with Amazon CamperForce. We have work camper jobs in a variety of cities that offer competitive wages and paid campground fees up to $550 per month. You'll also be able to earn a completion bonus and be part of a community that keeps coming back year after year. And Amazon is committed to keeping safety top of mind for its employees, and approved sites are open for selection right now. All you have to do is go to Amazon.com/CamperForceDream. All together, Amazon.com/CamperForceDream to learn more and pick your site for the season. That's Amazon.com/CamperForceDream. Amazon is an equal opportunity employer. And I'm going to put a link in the website in the show notes for this episode, which are at travelingrobert.com/podcast/0147, which is 147, this episode of the podcast. Or if you're listening on the website, it's right there. I'm going to repeat it one more time because it is Amazon.com/CamperForceDream. And I'm going to continue. I have some mail. I think I'm going to save the mail for last today. And I want to talk a little bit about the future travel plans, because I have one more time changed my plans, in part because I want to spend my birthday with family here in Miami, and in part also because I have to order a new computer and it's not going to arrive on time before the trip. So we're going to do like a Florida loop now in the next couple of weeks. And then at the beginning of July, we're coming back down to South Florida. I'm going to pick up my computer, celebrate my birthday. And then I'm going to go back north, maybe a little faster. I still want to linger for a week or two in Georgia. And then pretty much, and maybe another week like in the Smoky Mountains, and then make a beeline west for Arkansas. So kind of to reach North Dakota and Montana in August, let's just say. And then be in Hershey, Pennsylvania in time for the RV show in early September. So that's pretty much the plan, and the plans keep changing. And I know you guys like the South Florida and the Florida videos in general. So that's why I'm going to be doing a couple more videos in Florida this year. I haven't really given Florida any love for the past 2 years or so. We're also going back to the Florida Keys. Well, as I said, as you listen to this, we are on our way to the Florida Keys, and that's going to be a lot of fun. We're going to test a lot of things also, because we're trying to test how to work from the road. And this first couple of weeks is going to be Ileana's, my wife, her test on how to be able to work from the road. And then when I get my new computer, it's going to be my new test, because this is the thing. Right now I'm using two computers, one for audio and one for video. And the one for audio is very old. The one for video is very unreliable. So I need something reliable that works for both. So that's the main reason. And I'm making the investment, and You know, thanks to you guys who listen to the podcast, who watch the videos, who buy the CDs and the T-shirts and support via Patreon or PayPal or what have you, that I'm able to keep reinvesting in my production quality and keep providing, you know, the good videos and the podcast here, to be honest. And that's the main thing that we're going to do. And we continue testing out the new Winnebago Micro Mini. By the way, thank you to Winnebago for I don't think I mentioned it enough here in the podcast, but I really appreciate the fact that they made me a brand ambassador and lent me this RV for a whole year, which I'm going to see if I can talk to them and extend it a little bit, because for 3 months we've been, the RV has pretty much been sitting there in my driveway. In any case, I think I'm gonna go to some of your mail, and then I'll see if I'm forgetting anything else that I wanted to talk about. And here we go. This one from Tim Schlosser, and he says, I'm ready to order the TST TPMS, and I don't see it on your Amazon page. Do you still endorse Techno RV? Do you recommend a different TPMS? Thank you. And that's a good question. And no matter what you get, Get a TPMS system, something that alerts you if one of your tires, especially if one of your tires is losing air. I mean, if you get a blowout, there's nothing you can do. But if your tire starts losing air, you know, you have a nail or something, you know, it's a warning system that you can, you know, stop, pull over before you destroy that tire. And that's happened to me a couple of times, you know, and I can't believe, like, for, you know, we all learn, right? At one time I was young and inexperienced. Well, maybe not so young, but definitely inexperienced. And I did many improper things, like, you know, going out, not checking my pressure, and not having a TPMS. And TPMS is absolutely necessary. And I answered Tim. I actually replied in an email, and I'm gonna read you my reply. And I told him, Tim, TST is by far the most reliable TPMS system I've used to date. TireMinder is not bad, but TST is superior. It's the truth. I have never had a false positive, anything going wrong with this TST. And it didn't feel right to put TST on Amazon page since it was TechnoRV that gave it to me. So, you know, Eric and Tammy Johnson, the owners of TechnoRV, are very responsive and they stand behind the product they sell. Not to mention that they are super nice, as I know them personally, and they've got that southern charm, and they're full-time RVers, so they know that they're more in touch with our needs. And I endorsed them. And if you go to travelingrobert.com/technoRV, you can check out all the products they sell. You know, they sell the Berkey filter and the TST and another important product that you should have in your RV. And one of these days, I'm gonna write like an RV 101 pamphlet or maybe do a video. Because I keep thinking, a lot of people ask me questions. Like somebody actually asked me on a comment on YouTube today about batteries. Actually, let me skip and let me see if I can find that comment, because that was very interesting. And I answered, you know, and sometimes I assume that you guys know what I'm talking about. And sometimes, you know, and I remember when I was starting, I didn't know much about the electricity on what runs the RV. And the question is, from Photo Girl, when you camp in a parking lot, dry camp, are you able to run your AC if you get hot inside Minitini? And I told her, you know, you need a generator for that. For the most part. And she answered, thanks. Is that something that is commonly done when you have hookups? Does that cover for the AC? Excuse my ignorance. I don't know much about RVing. I'm learning through your videos, and I would love to have, I think, a Class B Sprinter type sleeper van on the Mercedes chassis. Are those required to be in RV lots for overnight camping? And I told her, you know, the whole thing about the RV. You know, there are several electrical systems on the RV, and the most basic one, the 12-volt system, that's what runs your lights and your fans and the electronics on the refrigerator, if you have an absorption-type refrigerator. And sometimes you can even run the TV set. There are some TVs that run on 12 volts, and that's what you use to charge your, you know, the USB ports. It's basic stuff. The 12-volt systems. And then if you want to run your household appliances that run on 110, 120 volts, 60 hertz, you need either to run the generator or be connected to hookups, of course, or you need to have an inverter. Now, the more you need, the bigger the inverter that you need, and the bigger the battery that you need. You know, if you wanna run an electric fan, probably a 300 watt inverter will do that, like a fan, a computer, the TV. But if you wanna run like the microwave, you're gonna need 2,000 watts of inverted power, and of course, the more power you pull out of those batteries, the faster they discharge. So if you're gonna be running the microwave a lot, or coffee maker, things like that. You know, they run at 1,000 watts. You know, remember, a regular battery is 100 amp hours, which times 12 volt is 1,200 watts, 1,200 watt hours, which means you can run 1,200 watts for about an hour. And then if you run like half of that, like 550 watts, you have 2 hours and such and so forth and so on. And that's assuming you have a lithium battery that you can drain all the way down. If you have an AGM or a lead acid, you can only really use half of that. So you'll be able to only use 50 amp hours, basically. And then you start damaging that battery. So think about it. An air conditioner runs about at peak you need about, unless you have a soft start, at peak you need about 3,000 watts, and then it runs at about 1,500. In any case, with 100 amp hours battery, if you were able to run the AC from that battery, you would get maybe half an hour, maybe a little more. So you really need a lot of battery capacity, first of all, if you want to run something like the air conditioner. The microwave might be easier. I'm actually able to run the microwave in my Mini Teeny 2 now. I have a 2,000 watt inverter, and you know, how long do you use the microwave? 5 minutes, you know, at the most, it's fine. But to run the AC, you need a 3,000 watt inverter, for example. Not so much for the regular consumption, but the air AC, even with a soft start at the beginning, it will give you a power spike to turn on that compressor, and that's why you need a very large inverter and large battery capacity to run the AC. So unless you have unlimited money to buy a lot of battery capacity, and of course solar to charge it as well, you're better off, if you really need the air conditioner, you know, bring a generator, something that is not too loud so your neighbors don't hate you, or just go to an RV park at this point. And at this point, what ideally we would do as RVers is chase that 75 degree temperature, right? Or at least a place where it drops below 75 at night. So all you really need is a fan or something that would work. So that's the long convoluted answer to that question. But I thought it was interesting for you guys to keep that in mind. And I got a very nice message from a gentleman, Roger, in Australia. And he says, Robert from Western Australia discovered your lap of the USA and YouTube. Very good. I did 3 months in the USA and Canada back in 2015, and you have filled in gaps and helped my wife and I revisit many places. We are now on episode 34. It's obviously helped a lot during our enforced isolation. As at 76, I don't expect to see the US again, getting too old for the pace. And I'm telling you, Roger, and I told him, I replied, actually, we've gone back and forth a little bit. And I told him that I really want to visit Australia, like take a month maybe and rent an RV. And I told him that I wanted to do the Australia loop. And he replied, and he said, hi, Robert, we recommend episode 35 today after a brief hospital visit to see my wife's brother. If you really are keen on laps, it is 17,900 kilometers around this place. We hope the virus riots, etc., are not pulling a dampener on traveling. And to that, I replied that I wanted to make a detour to see Uluru and Alice Springs, which is like, it's the road that goes straight down the middle. So I would if I go to Australia, I would do like a figure eight kind of thing. And he told me, hi, Robert, at 3,500 kilometers for a diversion to the Rock and Alice Springs, you could not come here and not do it. It doesn't matter which end of the Stuart Highway you approach it from either. It's in the middle. Yeah, Alice Springs is smack in the middle of the continent. And think about it, guys, Australia is the size of the United States, but with very little in the middle. I mean, you think the United States doesn't have much in the middle in some sense, you know, the flyover states. But if you drive through the flyover states, there's all kinds of cool things to see. In Australia, it's pretty much the outback. And I don't know, I might discover things to see in the middle. But as I've heard, And so he told me, oh, get a copy of Bill Bryson's book, Down Under. It's hilarious and close to the truth about Aussies. And I believe that that book is also rebranded as in a sunburned country. I was doing some research and I read that book some time back. And it's one of my favorite travel books of all time, to be honest. And that's actually the book that kindled my desire to visit the continent of Australia. So, yeah, definitely. I'm thinking 2023, 2024, and I'm going to look for a rental company that would rent me some kind of B or B plus for a month. Yeah. By the way, if you guys are someone listening from Australia and you know the name of a rental company that you recommend, and maybe that we could make a deal, you know, and in exchange for my video, you know, get a free rental or a discount. You know, I'm open to suggestions. Okay, from Thomas Albanido. Hi, Robert. Your videos are excellent. Your cooking looks pretty good also. I don't know how you can eat that huge pot you made. Hope you find this email finds you well and safe. Your videos are greatest. I would love to hit the road, but financially poor. But thanks to your videos, I feel great. Keep up the great work. Much appreciated, Tom. Thank you so much to you, Tom, for watching the videos. And here we go. I have one from Charles Scott Dixon. I am hooked on your YouTube channel. Love your videos. I was hoping that someday be a full-time reviewer. Your channel has given me such usable information. With the information that you provide will greatly help me out when I begin to travel. Also, keep up the reviews coming. Your opinions are very much needed. Thank you for your efforts, honestly. And IPAs are a great beer choice. Oh, thank you so much. And I really appreciate it. And the reviews, yeah, I have a couple more reviews coming, and I'm trying to keep those to a minimum because, sometimes I'm thinking of keeping the reviews as making them part of a travel video. For example, I'm gonna give you guys a sneak peek right now. There's this company that they want to send me an RV cover. You know, I still have my old trailer there in the driveway, and probably in the fall, I'm going to put it up for sale, let's face it. Maybe we'll make one last road trip with Mini Teeny One, you know, like a swan song, and then I'm probably going to put it up for sale. And but I wanted to you know, be safe here during the scorching summer heat of South Florida, so I'm gonna put it under a cover. And this company, they said, we'll send you a cover, you know, and I'll incorporate it into a video, probably into the maiden voyage for Mini Teeny 2, which is going to be the video on Jonathan Dickinson State Park. And you're probably not gonna see that on YouTube until a month from now. But yeah. Okay, I have one from Travis Hitton. We have an issue with the system they gave us when we bought our new rig. Basically, I hated and thought of going with what we had in our old rig equalizer system. I hesitate because we have a Keystone Outback 240 URS. It has a toy holder section up front and it makes it subject to sway in heavy winds. Usually it floats along fine, but crosswinds really make me have to slow way down. Would you describe the difference between the current system you are running and the prop ride you were using on Mini Teeny? I want to buy it, but man, it's a big investment. Thank you for your help, and hope you're enjoying Mini Teeny too. And this is the thing with the prop ride. Comparing the prop ride with a regular hitch, let's say Propride and Hensley are the same design, pretty much. Propride, it's a little easier to set up, and but it's a completely different system. It's the engineering in the Propride hitch system is amazing because the way it projects the pivot point forward to the rear axle or somewhere near the rear axle of the truck, it makes it act more like a fifth wheel, really, more than a toe behind. And the hitches, you know, I think with regular hitches, the main thing is it's have it professionally installed. Because I don't know if the hitch that I had before was really bad, the easy lift. It worked fine with the Kia, But the Husky that I have right now in Minitini 2, it works much better. I don't know if it is Minitini 2, the trailer. The 1708 FB is a much better trailer. The fact that it's higher, it makes it more stable. Doesn't make sense, but it does. And but that being said, on this last trip going to Matlachet, I encountered some crosswinds. And it was a little bit of a white knuckle there for a couple of miles, but it was a very bad thunderstorm. We probably had winds of 40 miles an hour, crosswinds too. So, definitely, especially if you have something that long and something that is prone to sway, I would definitely recommend something like the ProPride. I mean, it's like $3,000. It's an expensive investment, but it's, you know, it's your life and your comfort, and in the end, we travel for fun, right? We want the drive to be fun, and if it's a white knuckle drive half the time, you know, it's that could be a problem. Now, from Ryan Stower. Hi, Robert. My wife and I are big fans. We're planning to fly to Washington, D.C. next year. We're going to hire a car and drive to Memphis. We will be staying roughly 2 weeks, and we're wondering if you could suggest a round trip finishing back in D.C. And I actually wrote back, and in my opinion, you know, cool cities along the route, Chattanooga and Huntsville are very cool cities. And Nashville, of course. Nashville, in my opinion, is a must. And then on the way back, around either way, do parts of the Blue Ridge Parkway and the Skyline Drive. You know, the Blue Ridge Parkway, that will be part of the Smoky Mountains National Park. And of course, the Smoky Mountains, it's another place that you should visit. And the Skyline Drive, that's Shenandoah National Park in Virginia. And I recommend that area too, for sure. And finally, I have a message from Edward. And he says, Robert, nice to hear from you. Hope you're surviving these troubled times. We are planning a trip to the Florida Keys. Since we can't make it in one day, can you suggest some boondocking one-night stays on the way to Key West? And then I asked where he was coming from, because it really depends, and to find like a halfway point. And In reality, in South Florida, there's not a whole lot of legal boondocking. I know some people have stayed at the Cracker Barrel in Homestead, but it's really not sanctioned, and the Walmart in Homestead will knock on your door, no question about it. I know some people who have stayed actually at the parking lot in the IHOP in Marathon. But, you know, you have to be stealth for that. And I think that the one place that you can park legally in South Florida, and it's kind of like the halfway point, I would say, between Tampa and the Florida Keys, it's the Miccosukee Casino. It's on the outskirts of Miami, right where Miami becomes the Everglades. And one great thing about the Miccosukee Casino is right on Chrome Avenue. Chrome Avenue, it's a lot of people use it to avoid Miami traffic, because, you know, for the most part, it's a two-lane road. They're expanding it, and it goes from US 27 on the north, and on the south, it ends in Homestead and Florida City, right on US 1, where you can take US 1 down to the Florida Keys. So if you take Chrome Avenue, it's a little bit of a slow route, but you avoid most of the Miami traffic. And I think that's a tip worth the price of admission right there. And well, that's all the email I have for now. But we do have some voicemail. And if you want to leave me a voicemail so that I can play here on the podcast, and I think that's really cool, just go to travelingrobert.com on the bottom left corner. And I also have it in livingthervdream.com, by the way. I don't promote that site nearly enough. Livingthervdream.com, where that's the site that John and Kathy Huggins created originally. And I mean, 90% of the information there is still relevant. I've been trying to update some of the articles. And if you guys think that something needs to be updated, let me know. Because I could use your help with that. As you all know, I have my hands full with the videos sometimes. And I don't dedicate enough time to all the other things that I do, like the podcast sometimes. But in any case, let me play you back some of those voicemails.
Hi, Robert. I'm so glad that you finally got out and are having a fun time in Florida, even though the weather isn't the best. I got out and finally in my lazy days and have had solar installed and have been boondocking, was able to go to all five of the national parks in Utah, and currently looking forward to returning to the Valley of the Gods to fly my drone. Thanks to you, you're such an inspiration. I love that place. And I hope to meet up and meet you soon sometime, maybe courtside. I look forward to it. Thanks, Robert. Have a good one. Talk to you soon. Bye.
Oh, man, that's awesome. I kind of envy you because Valley of the Gods, as you know, it's one of my favorite places. That was like my ultimate bucket list place to boondock. And I was able to do it last year. So it's been a good time. Let's just put it that way. And you know, we love to travel. And the five national parks in Utah. I'm missing only one, although all of them, except for Zion, maybe all of them I kind of visited in a rush. So I want to go back, and I'm still missing Canyonlands, and that whole area that deserves a couple of weeks for sure. I'm thinking maybe this winter after Quartzsite. I might do that. Yeah, Quartzsite. And I was talking to Tony of StresslessCamping.com. He also has a podcast. And we were chatting the other day because I was doing a segment for his podcast. And he told me that he's going to be there. And I'm really looking forward to going back to Quartzsite this year. And I know Quartzsite is a kind of a lover of or hate kind of place. I really like Quartzsite. There's something alluring about that place and seeing so many RVers. And it's more about the people, really. Because everybody converges there, and all the like-minded people like us RVers.
I am Sinikka Viander from Haukipudas, Finland. My husband, Kari Viander. You're looking YouTube, Sulo the Beer Man from Kuusamo. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you so much. And like they say in Finland, kiitos. Because, yeah, you know, I was in Finland. And another one of the great things about this this job that I chose, you know, this YouTuber, influencer, or whatever you want to call it. I still can't believe it sometimes. But I get to meet people from all over the world. And you should tune into tonight's Friday live stream at 6 p.m. Eastern. Now, fingers crossed that I have good internet in the Florida Keys. But I usually do those on Friday evening. And I get people from all over the world. I've gotten people from Pakistan, from Australia, New Zealand, Finland, and you know, all over Europe in general, Argentina, Brazil, and it's really a fun time. And of course, people from all over the United States and Mexico as well, and Canada. It's really cool to be able to, because you know, we may have our differences sometimes, otherwise, but we all speak the same language, and that is the language of travel, of wanderlust, and if there is something that can unite us as a people in these strange times, I think that would be one of those. And I will leave you with that thought today. Until next Friday, thank you so much for listening. And see you on the road, because we are living the RV dream and loving the RV lifestyle, free in my RV.